Significant, the SICK podcast. Who and what drives us? Let's talk about it.
Welcome to this year's SICK Solution Hackathon, combined with a significant talk. And in order to help in this discussion, we have a few people that I'd like to have on stage. So the first person that I would like to welcome on stage is from Detroit, Michigan, studied mechanical engineering at Oakland University, is now at Kettering doing her engineering management. Yeah, Mackenzie Hill, come up on stage. Where are you? You are hiding, right? Yeah, next up from the Netherlands, he did a bachelor's in human movement sciences, and he's getting a master's in digital technology engineering. He's focused on the human-centered approach, design thinking. Harem Swiegers, come up on stage. And finally, we have someone from SICK with 10 years of work experience. He's head of collaborative safety solutions. He has a PhD, and it's so cool, experimental quantum physics. And he studied physics in Melbourne, Freiburg, and also Heidelberg. So please welcome Christoph Hoffmann also to the stage. Yeah, so we got a little bit of discussion previously. I think on the podcast you didn't hear it, but don't worry, we're going to get right into it. With innovation, this is kind of the first question to the group. Why do you find innovation important? Mackenzie, you're looking at me. Maybe you can start.
Absolutely.
Sure.
For me, it's all about the integration, the automation, and really just extracting the tedious tasks away from everyday life, whether that's your work, whether that's your home life, trying to eliminate the boring things, the monotonous tasks, the screwing a toothpaste bottle together, trying to get rid of those everyday nuisances so that we can focus on things we enjoy, things we excel at, and things that we can bring to the world.
Yeah, I'm just thinking now of all the things that like you have to do, for example, within European regulation in order to get your car certified, and a lot of these governmental processes. I would love to have that like taken away.
Yeah, my background as a manufacturing engineer especially, it's not about what you can add to the process. It's all about what you can remove from the process, removing that waste.
Right. Some people were also mentioning innovative and new and unique and things like that. And the other direction is to simply take away the garbage that you don't want to deal with in daily life, I think. Yeah.
It's not as flashy.
That's
but
true.
It matters a lot.
Yeah, agreed. Harem, did you want to also pitch in into your why?
For me, my personal why is because I think like the world is, we are getting like more complex problems. And yeah, me, I like to do innovation just to chip in to like resolve some of these problems. So by doing like my small task to this, I want to make the world like a better place for all of us.
Yeah, I can relate. What are some examples of making the world a better place? What would you, is it also within, because I know you did things like sports medicine and also helping out people with disabilities, correct?
Yeah. So like one example is besides my study, I also work at a digital transformation project, and it's for like people with disabilities. And we try to use like social robotics to make them more dependent. And I think that's like a really nice cause that shows that innovation can really help people and also the less fortunate people.
That's great. Yeah. Christoph, you want to pipe in a little bit? What's your why?
So I think currently we face some very interesting times when it comes to innovation, because at that moment, I think barriers are lowered dramatically. So there is so much stuff out there that we can make use of. Everyone is familiar with recent developments in AI. We have augmented reality, robotics, and all these things. And I think that is something that can help us really do new things, novel things. That's the innovative part of it. And if you ask for my personal why, I'm very much driven by curiosity. This is what I strive for. And also, I think it's fantastic being an innovator that you can help sculpt the future. That's my personal why.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, then I think we got a good feeling for the why. Then we can go to the next topic, which is once you have an idea, whether you're in the shower or you're going for a jog or maybe you're working with customers or something like that, what's the first thing that you do? How do you start? And I would pose this to Harem.
How do you know my ideas always come up in the shower? But yeah, since I'm still studying, I don't take the ideas to the next level a lot.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have more experience in this than me. Mm-hmm. But the first steps I would take is to find like-minded people, people with the same vision, and also talk about the idea with them, look at the opportunities and the risks, and after that, take it from there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tend to quickly trying to solve the problem or going technical or trying to solve it mentally or cerebrally. And I think it's interesting that one of the more important things at the very beginning of the trip is to make sure that you have the right people around you, because it's a long road, I can imagine. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Christoph?
I'm fortunate to have many ideas, but when I have them, I do something unexpected, I would say. When I have these ideas, I put them to the side first. And when ideas start reoccurring, I think this is the first sign that this time it's something different. This time there might be a new twist in solving a problem. And then I start to rethink the ideas, challenge my own ideas. This still happens all in my head. And when I start believing in my own ideas and start getting fascinated about my own ideas, I think it's the right time to prepare for a pitch. Because I think innovation is not just about ideas, it's about making ideas happening. And to make ideas happening, I think you need to get a team around you. And that's why you need to become a storyteller. You need to win teams, mates, yeah, and you need to be driven by a mission. And I think this is a good way to get the rubber on the road, get things demonstrated, tested, gather feedback, and all of a sudden your idea starts to become a solution. And with that, I'm handing over maybe to McKinsey. What do you add?
Well, I'm also the unconventional, which is apparently conventional at this table, where I like to slow down. And well, first of all, most of my ideas are an annoyance that I find in life. We're talking about removing those annoying things where I have to reach for the sugar every day. Maybe I put it as a push button above the coffee. I don't know. Just the tiniest little things, they don't just reduce time. They also improve your life. Just opens up other possibilities. Saying that, it's all about the solution. It's stepping back, and when I was a little more naive and was first starting with hackathons especially, I would get really excited about this solution, and I'd go all the way down this rabbit hole and turn out it's not solving a problem. It's really cool, and it's flashy, but no one else has the same problem. It's not applicable to the mass people. So it's doing that storytelling, trying to figure out what you're pinpointing as the problem and tailoring your solution to that. A great idea is only great if someone wants it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think you also mentioned earlier really getting in there with the people who are using it, right? This is always an issue. This kind of goes into the next question quite well, which is, what makes an innovation, you know, is it, what is it about it? I'll leave it open. Maybe you can answer that since you're talking already. What is an innovation where you know, okay, this really is it. This is what I'm looking for. It has value.
It's doing something differently. And what's interesting about that, it's not doing something inherently new, especially nowadays with everything so connected. There are a lot of solutions out there that don't solve the correct problems or can be applied differently. So you don't always need to be plastic injecting like the Legos. You can just take the Legos and put them together. It's a lot easier, and you can accomplish so much more, especially with 48 hours.
Yeah, it's got to be pragmatic too, right? So you're just
Absolutely.
Trying to find the biggest bang for the buck. Yeah.
There are a lot of smart people out there, and it's putting those ideas together that I'm sure Christoph can speak of.
Yeah, I think it needs to break the status quo. Yeah, this is what is about innovations. I would argue it is adding something new, personally. Yeah. Also, I think it's not the inventors themselves that decide whether it's an invention or not. It's users that decide this. Yeah. If users like to use the new solution, like to apply it, this is the tipping point where the idea really becomes to something that seems to have value to others.
Yeah, I agree. And I would like to add to that, because I think that the acceptance is an important stage. But I think like the greatest innovations, they become like invisible. It's like second nature. And money is a good example of that. It's an innovation, but you don't even think about it. I think you have like a really good innovation if it becomes something like that.
Mm-hmm. It becomes ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And it's just, yeah, I can get that. When you're talking about the value and get into a point, I think that you'd made earlier, again, McKinsey, about always being in contact with the people who are then using this idea. And you had sort of a ratio or something like that, where you were dividing, you're using higher math.
Very complicated.
And then iterating with the target group. maybe say a few words to this?
Absolutely. So again, manufacturing, engineering, and I am a mechanical, but it delves into improvement, and I always like to improve the processes. So I touch a lot of different parts of companies, and a big part of it is VAVE. It was a big thing during World War II, but I digress. You can look it up. VA is value applied engineering. So once the product is already finished, that's improving the process and taking all that waste out so that you can give more value for the customer. And then VE is value engineering. That's what we're doing today. We're putting together a solution, and while we're building it, we're already fixing so many things about it before it even comes to the table. But that equation we're talking about that's so complex is value is pretty much equal to the functionality to the customer divided by cost. That is the value of the product. They don't want to be paying for you walking across just pacing. They want a product. They want a solution to their problem.
Yeah, I think the ways that you use a product, each one has a particular value. And the more you add, obviously, the more expensive the thing becomes, right? And so you have to kind of strip it down to the best bang for the buck, so to say. I'm really excited for this one because I like this as well, because I kind of get a little bit too technical, maybe a little bit too into the nitty-gritty and solving it. I also see ChatGPT. I'm probably one of those people that is talking about ChatGPT too much. You know, you get tired of them. There's so many different tools out there. There's AI, there's analytics, there's these chatbots, there's virtual reality and things like that. What is the role of technology when it comes to innovation? I would give this to you, Christoph. I don't have to give it to you. I can give it to somebody else if you like.
Yeah, I think I said that. That earlier. Now, in this year, it's very different compared to last year already. Like, we have seen all these breakthroughs in AI. We have these foundation models when it comes to the chatbots, the large language models. Yeah, there is a new llama in town. All these things. But also on the vision pipeline, we have very many new things like Segment Anything from Meta. It's these large companies that make these foundational models available for us. And I think now we have reached this point that we can make use of these innovations from others. We can build upon this. And I think this is something we need to realize. Yeah, I wanna answer with a quote by Newton. He said, "If I've seen further, it's because of standing on the shoulders of giants." And I think this really captures also the process of innovation. There is so much functionality available at that very moment. You named a few, and it's up to us to bring that functionality to the next level, to combine it in a clever way, to produce something new. But also, I want to give a warning to that. I think with all these fantastic artificial intelligence tools we have, we should also use our human intelligence. And to check, is that always the silver bullet? Are we using it in a meaningful way, in a respectful way, in a sustainable way? And that is also something that is very critical when it comes to innovation.
Yeah, I get that. And it's interesting just thinking of the fact that you studied quantum physics. That was also probably something where it's kind of important to use that in the right direction in a similar way, right? Because if you use it in other ways and you don't take the human aspect into account, you can actually cause maybe these sufferings and things like that as opposed to solving them. Yeah. So who wants to also take on this, the role of technology? We also said before we did this, we said eye contact means that I ask you. And they're both giving me eye contact. So who wants to answer first?
Yeah, well, I'd like to continue on this because sure. I think like you mentioned ChatGPT and like other AI assistants like Copilot, for example. Now, I think we're all really exploring how we can use this best in our advantage. But I think you mentioned like a really good point that we shouldn't get lost in this and only rely on that assistant, basically. And I think a lot of data is used to find cause and effects, but I think it's really important to keep analyzing yourself and looking at the user eventually to keep making these analytics yourself as well.
So no longer kind of my way of doing it, maybe I got a great idea and then you nerd out in a particular direction and then you come out with maybe a monster or maybe it's going in the wrong direction. Always keeping the people in mind. It feels like it's a huge commonality. Mackenzie, do you have something to add?
Oh, absolutely. Christoph was much more eloquent than I was talking about the shoulders of giants. That's what I was going for with those Legos, is there's so much to build upon that it's just... there's so much you almost don't know what to do with it. In terms of AI, the two things that I really focus on talking about with we'll say, less engineer folk.
Yeah, okay.
It's the ability for computers to find those patterns. And we aren't even, for the pattern side of things, we don't even catch those. It's incredible how much data it can parse and just give us answers. And again, to point back to, I believe, my first answer, it's removing those tedious tasks. And the other thing is just being able to parse that data and come out with the highlights. It is a danger where, I mean, it's only as smart as you are. If you ask the wrong question, if you give it the wrong data set, it's dangerous. You can misuse that information. But the ability to go through decades, hundreds of years of data, and just type in an answer, pops right out. It's absolutely wild.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, don't get me started with ChatGPT. I'm a big fan.
It removes those tedious data tasks. Models.
Exactly, for sure. Yeah, we're going into we have a few more minutes left, and now we go into maybe a last question. And this is sort of about just hackathons and getting together and hacking in general, not specifically to SICK, but the question would be, and maybe this could be for the students, how do you see the role of these hackathons, and what value do you feel like it brings to the game?
Well, I just talked, so I'm going to pass it along.
This is a good point, actually.
Yeah, but for me, like, I think we all learn a lot, like, especially from looking at each other. And yeah, what I actually like a lot is we have so many different backgrounds together here that people get inspired and we can build upon each other's ideas. So a lot of seeds of brilliant ideas will be planted these days. And then sometimes someone's in the shower and we'll be like, ah, yeah, that right. was, I remember something from that.
Yeah.
So that's only from the participants. And then we have all these great partners here as well, showcasing their technologies. And yeah, it's really cool working with that.
To go with the seeds, I actually heard an interesting phrase that I really like in terms of hackathons, and that's cross-pollination. We have so many just diverse backgrounds, experiences, and like-minded people at the same time, where we're all here just to code. When I first got into hackathons, it was amazing just to see so many people who gave up their entire weekend to sit in a room in front of a computer with other people for free. With a free food and t-shirt, you know?
Yeah. But free pizza is an argument, yeah.
Yeah, no, the SICK hackathon is much better than pizza if you guys have been walking around. But it's just amazing that you have these like-minded people who aren't doing it for the money. We're just excited. We're here
curiosity.
For it.
The curiosity.
It's the curiosity.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think that's okay, it does sound like a little bit of a shameless plug, you know, because we're the hackathon, obviously. But I think that's absolutely correct to get together. There's even some solutions that were created last year that are actually being then used this year, like for customers. And we're learning quite a lot also from the students. So it's definitely not a one-way direction or something like that. We also get a lot from it. Wow, thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys helping out and answering a little bit. And I hope it maybe supported you guys here in the room doing the hackathon to innovate a little bit more. So please, let's give a big round of applause to our panel. And that was the end of our significant talk and podcast at the same time. If you're listening online, don't forget to like and subscribe, share with your friends. All these people here in the room, they're all smiling at you as you're hearing it from your phone or from your car. And looking forward to seeing you guys in the next podcast.